it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you have missed any part of the program, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app. It has been all football today with the Giants getting embarrassed by the Commanders and the Jets losing a heartbreaker. The Yankees are indeed off, but they did their job over the weekend, winning 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays. Only 2 games back, though they need to make up 3 games on Toronto since the Blue Jays have the tiebreaker. And the Mets begin a 4-game series against the Phillies. Luis Torrens going on the injured list. He got banged up over the weekend, so the Mets lose their backup catcher. Hayden Senger called up to replace him on the roster. We'll get back to your calls, plus a few decisions Aaron Glenn made yesterday that you may be shaky on. But first, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. We're going to try to run a new play on Football Mondays here with Cinco with some takeaways non-Jet and Giant related as much as possible.
I like it.
So for this, we're going to do my 5 biggest surprises around Week 1 in the NFL as we get set. By the way, you can hear coverage tonight of the Vikings and Bears right here on WFAN. Here we go.
Number 5.
A 2-quarterback situation. Both Bo Nix and Brock Purdy, not exactly impressive in their Week 1 wins. Little doubts on some regression here in 2025.
I can see why. It always happens early on in second seasons. We saw it with C.J. Stroud a year ago as well. That was a different, offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick issue. But I think it happens because you now know what to expect from those guys as opposed to, what are we getting from this rookie quarterback? And then they surprise you.
Yeah, and Purdy, obviously a veteran, but didn't look the same.
But you know what both teams did?
What's that?
They won.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. They did.
It's all that matters.
Here we go.
Number 4.
The Lions and Jared Goff look like a lost offense without Ben Johnson.
You think that's going to be a thing?
Or maybe it's their new defensive assistant, one Nathaniel Hackett.
He's the defensive assistant?
I love me some Nate Hackett. He's the defensive assistant.
Is the thought because he knows offense to stick him on defense?
Well, I mean, it was late in the process. They didn't fire their offensive coordinator, so you're not hiring him as your offensive coordinator. You're hiring him because you like him and you like his football acumen, so you hire him as a defensive assistant.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing that happened with Robert Saleh,
right?
Where he's a offensive assistant. So you're basically teaching the opponent's scheme to the defense, right? So he's teaching opponent's offense to the Packers' defense.
Yeah, I mean, replacing coordinators can be nasty business.
Yeah.
And I think what's facing Detroit right now is the heightened expectations.
Right.
I mean, this is, let's face it, a Super Bowl championship or bust kind of season. And I also think the Packers are really good.
Yeah.
And they must be fired up after they made the trade for Michael Parsons. Jordan Love is coming into his own as a star in this league. Another example of why you wait with a young quarterback.
Right. And they have one of the best receiving corps and tight end groups in the NFL.
Yeah.
They're good. They're young everywhere.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. A lot of it could be maybe the Packers are really damn good. We'll see next week. They play the Commanders on Thursday night. That's a hell of a game.
That is.
All right, here we go.
Number 3.
All that talk of the preseason and the Bengals barely scraped by beating the Browns, and they only score 17 points in a game.
But they won the game.
They did. But all talk about the offense, 17 points?
Yeah. I mean, they always get off the slow starts. This is a Joe Burrow staple. At some point, he'll click in and he'll be fine. I'm just surprised. Still shocked that Joe Flacco is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
For now.
For now.
That'll change. It was ugly, but you know what? Like I said about the Jets, like I just said about San Francisco and Denver, all that matters is the result.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Yeah. In fact, it would actually excite me more as a fan to play as crappy as humanly possible and still win.
And still win.
Because it's like, all right, best is yet to come, and we just put a win in the bag.
All right, here we go.
Number 2.
This is, I actually think, a sad one. I don't think we get a better classic game all season than we got out of the Ravens and Bills last night, which kind of sucks to already have that gone in Week 1. That was unbelievable theater.
I mean, it was a great way to start for Sunday Night Football on NBC. Like, they got the game of the season.
Maybe. Oh, man. Yeah. That was the game of the season. Heavyweights,
right.
Superstars, and I think you walk away from it. I know I walked away from it feeling better about not picking the Ravens as a Super Bowl
team. because he just can't win games like that.
And it's weird to say about John Harbaugh because he's coached the team to his championship. I don't trust him.
Well, yeah. You know what it is? Because he plays games to be close. And he doesn't want to blow out anybody for whatever reason.
And they got so conservative.
Why take your foot? You're up by, what was the score, 34?
They're up by 15.
34 to 25. And then they scored a touchdown, missed the extra point. But still, they're up 40 to 25.
Yeah.
And you get conservative? Just go for the jugular.
Yeah.
He never does it.
You know what my takeaway was from watching that game?
What's that?
The Giants look like they play a different sport than those two teams.
That's true.
Well, it's funny. Until Sunday Night Football.
Quarterback matters.
Yeah. Boys. No doubt. Until that game took place, the Jets-Steeler game had the most points scored of week one. And that was the game with the lowest line over-under by far. They had the most points in week one until the Bills-Ravens game.
And the Jets.
The Jets-Steeler game.
Oh, wow.
And pound for pound was probably the most exciting game of week one until Bills-Ravens. So I think the Jets-Steeler game had everything until Bill Ravens took it away.
I still got to go watch the fourth quarter because I don't know how you have 269 yards passing when you have two possessions.
It was amazing.
The field is not, think about it logically, the field is not over 100 yards long. How do you have 200? I think it was because it leaked into the third from the third quarter into the fourth quarter, but still.
Keon Coleman was awesome, too.
Still.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Number one.
And the number one biggest surprise of week one in the NFL is, at least statistically, Daniel Jones looks like a different quarterback.
Stop it.
Think I want to be saying this?
Go watch the game. He looked exactly like Daniel Jones. I'm happy for Daniel Jones, ecstatic for his win, and maybe he found something in Shane Steichen. It was dink and dunk all up and down the field. A couple of really good passes, including one for a touchdown, but it was the Daniel Jones that you know and love.
Okay. All right. Put a pin in it.
So will the Colts win 9-10 games?
The Colts won 8 games a year ago.
That's what I'm saying.
With maybe the worst quarterback situation in football.
That's my point. So they could win 9-10 games with a better quarterback.
They absolutely could. Are they winning the division? Let me think.
Nah, Texans.
Texans offense looked rough yesterday,
too.
They
did. I still trust the Texans.
Jaguars.
I do, too, but I don't know.
I mean, look, it's week one, and clearly based on your reactions, we're going to over-exaggerate to it. Yeah. That's fine. I would stand by.
It's a division to keep an eye on.
Sure. Look, crazy things can happen.
Because I think Shane Steichen is a very good coach. He just has had a cluster with his quarterback.
Well, but here's what you need to know about the Daniel Jones situation. This is going to frustrate you, but I got to tell you like it is.
Yeah.
You watch the tape. You went back and said, oh, the Colts won 33-8, Daniel Jones, 3 touchdowns. Hey, let me see what happened. And you watched the tape and you came away from it saying, yeah, not that impressive. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If Daniel Jones has a good statistical year.
No doubt.
And the Colts win games.
The narrative.
You could sit here all day and tell me the tape's not impressive. It will make Brian Daboll look like an ass to most Giant fans.
I'm going to give you a Tiki a positive, too. If the Colts win this division behind Daniel Jones, and they go play Saturday 4:30 Wild Card Weekend and win that game,
yeah,
Daniel Jones will tie Dak Prescott for career postseason wins. It's a good victory lap for you. Cinco de Five.
Wow.
That's a good one. I like that.
Found a way to troll the Cowboys. Impressive. I'll get to some of the decisions Aaron Glenn made yesterday that may have rubbed people the wrong way. But let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Jesus is in upstate New York. What's up, Jesus?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, dude?
Sean, don't lose hope, man. We still got this. We're hanging in there.
I'm not losing hope. I think we win Sunday.
What do you still have? What are you implying that you still have? Like
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A season, like a playoff berth? Like, what are you pep talking him for?
The number one pick. But
Oh, such a hater.
I watched that game, and I'm going to tell you, all I saw was an offensive line that was a peewee offensive line. I mean, they got ran over every single play. I didn't see anything that was remotely helpful or anything to the running game, the passing game, anything. And again, who's calling the offensive plays? He's down on the field. He should be up in the press box calling from the field. Because none of the plays that he called worked. Didn't he make any adjustments?
Does that make a difference being on the field or being in the skybox?
I honestly do think it does sometimes. I know that early on in a young quarterback's career, it's nice to be down on the field just because you can have a real conversation with him as opposed to being on the headset or the phone. But it's chaos on a football sideline. It just is. Even if you think you're calm and it's just too much stuff happening and going on. And in the booth, you're surrounded by assistants, whether that's, you know, the wide receiver coach or whoever, probably not the wide receiver because you know what I mean, quality control. There's other people up there that are helping you see what's happening. It's like being having a spotter for the play-by-play guy.
Right, right.
So it's like you can get intel that helps you make decisions in a controlled environment. It's just your people in the booth. Whereas on the sideline, it's just chaos.
I also would think, very basically, you just see better.
100%.
It's the best seat in the house.
It's like being in your seats at Barclays.
Yeah.
You have an all, or at MetLife.
Or MetLife. I see everything.
You have the all 22 view. And so it's not like, oh, what happened? I couldn't see on the other side of the field because the angle and there's 350-pound lineman in my way. I don't know why that play broke down. When you're on up high, you see it.
Yeah.
Right? It's there for you. So I would prefer to have my offensive coordinator or whoever, play caller, in the booth, but I mean, he wants to be on the sideline.
Bobby in Yonkers. Good afternoon, Bobby. Bobby.
Hey, hi, Evan.
Hey, what's up, Bobby?
A couple of things. Now, I think AG and Justin Fields could be the quarterback and the coach, but a couple of things that I didn't like.
Go.
2-point conversion, right? They blew the timeout. Either it was the QB or the coach.
Yeah.
Right? And then for Justin Fields to throw into triple coverage. Mm-hmm. Right? He's not that, you know, efficient as a passer. He was better, but you can't do that. Right?
He got away with it, though.
And that, say that again?
I said he got away with it, though. That's the problem. You don't want to see that consistently because you're right. It's gonna be problems.
Right? And then listen, we had the bad penalties in the second half. Right, that's the coaching. Now, listen, I think he can change it. And look, I'm a Jets fan since '68, but I don't want to anoint them yet. And I'm sure Joe Beningo will say the same thing tomorrow.
Listen, Joe won't anoint someone after a great season, let alone a game that they lost. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anyone's anointing them. But Bobby touched on a few things that I do want to address because there were two things that Aaron Glenn did that bothered me. All right, let's get to number one. He mentioned the timeouts. The timeouts, in a lot of ways, cost them the game.
Hmm.
Because
how so?
Well, first of all, even though they went 4 and out, they were also rushing because they knew they only had one timeout. I think after the first down conversion, they probably would have used one of their timeouts, and they also could have run the football, which I thought that they would have been in a really good spot to do considering the Steelers couldn't stop them all day. So let's just admit having one timeout on the final possession was really bad. And help contribute to them losing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's examine when they lost those two timeouts. How did it happen? Number one, remember earlier in the show, not that long ago, we played the clip of the reversal penalty?
Yes.
When they initially called it on Garrett Wilson, then they picked up the flag and said, oh, wait, it's on Jalen Ramsey. Remember that play?
Yep.
Okay, so now the Jets are set up with 1st and goal from the 5. There was a delay because no one knew what was going on. They wasted a timeout. They used a timeout, and Aaron Glenn's answer after the game was, I didn't like the personnel I saw on the field. They were going to blow up the play, had to change it.
Yeah.
You just had 5 minutes of downtime.
But he didn't know. They probably were thinking that they were coming from the 20 as opposed to the 5. The tight red area.
Well, it's a completely different situation. It would have been 3rd and long as compared to 1st and goal from the 5.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you can't waste the timeout in that spot.
No, I agree with you. You should have that play, and you don't have to think about it.
Absolutely.
Just hit it. This is the play we're going to.
So that's timeout number one that they wasted. Would you agree inexcusable?
That one I can understand.
You understand it?
Only first-time coordinator, first game. I get it.
Okay, I don't love it.
I don't either, but you're not prepping for that contingency. Bill Belichick led teams. They would prep for that type of contingency, but Aaron Glenn is not there yet.
The second timeout was wasted literally 4 plays later after Justin Fields scored the touchdown on fourth and goal from the one.
Mm-hmm.
They go for two. They're up 32-31. I think we all agree they should go up for two, mm-hmm. go for two, with about 7 minutes to go in the game. So not arguing that. And they called a timeout while setting up for the two-point conversion.
Huh.
That's another one.
That one I don't like.
Bro, it's the second half of the game.
You know what your two-point play is.
You should.
And if you don't and you got to think about it, then you didn't prepare for the moment.
Yes.
The second one, I agree with you.
And that contributed to the Jets' final drive being rushed and them not being able to use a timeout and maybe change their play calling a little bit, because if you have two or three timeouts, they can run the ball. With 56 seconds to go and three timeouts, and you only get to need to go to field goal range, you can run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me get to the other issue. The other issue is more debatable. It's a geeky football discussion. So let's go all the way back to the beginning. When the New York Jets scored a touchdown, that beautiful deep ball to Garrett Wilson, when he beat Darius Slay. Oh, my God. I want to watch that over and over again. It's beautiful. Okay?
Perfect throw, by the way.
Unbelievable. So the Jets go ahead 9-7. Nick Folk misses an extra point. Okay? Misses it. Unbelievable. Son of a B. Missing an extra point. But we see a flag, a legal formation. It's on the Steelers. And so now the Jets have an option. Option number one is, hey, Nick, you missed the field goal, the extra point, but now it's going to be even more of a chip shot because of the penalty on the Steelers. You get 5 yards closer.
Right.
You can do that, go up 10-7, or because you're now at the one-yard line, you can go for two. There's a point where I may be all in on going for two. If this is the Ravens, sure. If this is the Bills or the Chiefs, sure. If this is the Eagles with the tush push, absolutely. I'm not comfortable yet with this offense going for two and being cute. So they run the ball with Braylon Allen. It doesn't work. It was a predictable play call that got stuffed.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can go through the formatics on what went wrong on it. But how about you kick the extra point and go up 10-7? How about that? And if you do that, then later in the game you're not going for two. Mm-hmm. The Jets are tied.
Yeah, I didn't get that one early. It just felt too aggressive for the moment. Like you put yourself... I understand the reward, but if you think that you're going to end up scoring a ton of points and that's why you're going for it, that point early is not going to make the difference. That point later will make a humongous difference. So the risk wasn't worth it early.
I also don't know if they're good enough yet to do stuff like this.
How did they know if they're good enough early to do stuff like that?
Yeah.
Now, maybe they know because it's internal and they had their confidence in themselves based on what they did in practice, but it's still just... I wasn't watching it real time. I just was watching the score. And I was like, didn't they just score a touchdown?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And obviously, I found out later, they now on the half yard line or whatever the heck it is, and they try to go for it, and they don't make it. I hate that early in game.
I don't like it.
I don't mind it. I just hate it early in
games. I don't like it early in games, and I don't like it with this team quite yet. And so it was aggressive. And Aaron Glenn showed a lot of signs of being aggressive. Like, another thing he did that I liked was he was really throwing those timeouts out on the Steelers' drive right before the half where they scored the touchdown. Like, he was using timeouts thinking, hey, I want to get the ball back.
Yep.
And I want to give my offense a chance. And even with 27 seconds left from their own 33-yard line, they tried. And they tried. And unfortunately, it got derailed because John Simpson was called for a personal foul, which I got to defend John Simpson on. As much as I wanted to get points, he was called for a personal foul because he was defending his quarterback.
You have to.
And I think with 10 seconds to go in the first half a likely scenario where you're not marching down the field and kicking a field goal, you do have to.
Right. Yeah, they just handed it off to Isaiah Davis and then ran out the clock.
Well, that was after the penalty pushed them back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I didn't mind the penalty as much. Look, the Quincy Williams personal foul it can't happen. It was a late hit out of bounds. Inexcusable. Cannot happen. But I thought the John Simpson one I sort of understood.
Mm.
So those are some of the decisions Aaron Glenn had to make. Let's go to Bob in Upper Freehold. Hey, Bob.
How you doing? Three things. Also, I agree, but the one question I had was the three things I thought made them kind of lose the game was the extra points, the fumble, but also why was he calling timeouts at the end of the game? I would have rather seen the Steelers have to rush, get down the field instead of calling timeouts and let them take their time. Second question is, Evan, a while ago I did send you a file of the Jets 68 Super Bowl team. And the third question is, the Jets are geared towards running the ball, and most defenses are geared towards stopping the pass. and it's more towards Tiki. What do you think of the Jets having like a wishbone package?
I mean, that would be awesome. I don't know if they could actually do the wishbone because they don't have a third. I guess they do. They could put Braylon as the middle,
yeah,
like the middle back, and have Brees and then Davis. And then obviously Justin Fields. It would be interesting, but it'd be hard to block because there's no edge protection.
Yeah.
And you're playing basically 40, 30, 31 personnel. That wouldn't work. By the way, thank you, SMY, for joining us. As always, Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
Well,
I don't think it can work in today's NFL. The edge rushers are too good.
We are about to get the answer to the question we are all curious about. I had to make a decision last week, not proud of it, but had to do it, to sell my Jet tickets for week one. It was just a lot going on. The Giants were playing. The Mets were playing. I needed to be at home watching everything. And it was tough. I'd love to be there. I'm a Jet season ticket holder. I'll be at plenty of games this year. But I wasn't there for week one. And I was guilted that I was contributing to Steeler fans showing up. And so I announced where my seats were the other day. I told the exact section, exact seat number. And I wanted to find out for anyone who was there, was it a Jet fan or a Steeler fan who bought my tickets? We have someone on hold who claims they know who sat in my seats.
Okay.
So I'm very nervous about this, but I'm also very trusting, and I trust Nick in the Bronx. So, Nick, answer the billion-dollar question. Who
the
sat
billion,
in
the,
my seats?
Okay. Real quick. Hey, Sean, I'm going to the Met game in Philly tomorrow, and I'll wear my Met gear in and out, you wuss. Now we'll get to the real topic. Now we get to the real topic.
Yes.
Evan, as much as I want to tell you, you are sitting down by the 40-yard line, by the way, because remember when I told you double seats compared to single seats? So I'm in the single seat, so you were down by 40. But not only did you not sell to Pittsburgh, the whole first row were all Jets fans.
Yes!
So, nice.
So, yes, 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 the 314.
Yes!
We didn't sell out.
Nice.
Nice! I'm so happy to hear that. And where's my apologies? Go ahead, Sean.
No apology.
You claimed I was adding to Steeler fans showing up in my building, and I sold to Jet fans!
Evan, you just accused me of covering up my Giants gear. How do you know those weren't Steeler fans that just put on Jet stuff so that they didn't get beat up? We'll never know the real answer.
Why would someone do that?
Stop.
To avoid getting beat up. They don't know coming in, so we'll never know the real answer.
Speaking of dressing up, do you remember last year, and I was saying it as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I guess people didn't read it as a joke or hear it as a joke, but I was claiming that, it was this year, it wasn't last year, that Yankee fans were showing up to City Field.
Oh, yes, yes.
Dressing up as Met fans to boo Juan Soto.
Yes.
Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do.
It's like you're taking my joke of an idea and running with it. There's no Steeler fan that showed up to MetLife and said, ooh, even though we make up half the building today, we're intimidated by Jet fans. No.
You never know.
Look, Tiki said it best. When I sold my tickets, I had a 50-50 shot of it being a Jet fan.
Because
if the building was going
to
be...
Yeah, because it was 48-52, right?
Right! If it was going to be an even split, then I had the same percentage of it being Jet fans.
Can I also just say something? You needed to not go to the game to see everything. You didn't go to the game to watch the Giants score 6 points. Ben Rice to hit a first-inning home run. That game was over, okay? And the Mets had a weekend in Cincinnati. Did you really need to sit down and watch
the Yankees? They won with 3 hits.
Yeah, yeah. Did you really need it?
I think you can always say that about sports. Like, I could say the same thing to you about going to D.C., saying, hey, did you really need to go on a 6-hour Amtrak ride?
Yes, because he wants Simone to keep inviting him to sporting events.
Well, that's a different reason.
I got an invite, by the way. Evan, you're not gonna lie. I got an invite Friday night to the Mets, though.
To the DeGrom game? You got to go to that.
I got a text.
That's an event.
Do you and Tommy want to come Friday night? I didn't even tell Tommy that.
Well, screw you. Tommy. Hold on.
Yeah, I already declined.
You already declined?
Declined?
I'll show him the text on behalf of me and Tommy.
Why?
Tommy had an opportunity to come with me to the Giant Commander game and did not go, so I said I'm not giving him the in for the command. For the DeGrom.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I was going to save this for later in the week. But
that
yes.
is cold-blooded.
But we have the same in. Now, you're a little closer with that in than I am, but I have a little bit. I'm building a relationship with the in. By the way, I have to text them, but the fact that you spoke on our behalf, like I'm your wife, is ridiculous. You could have just said no, and then I could have said yes, and then he could have done whatever he wanted with the other ticket, much like you did by bringing your sister yesterday.
I hate to break it to you, Tommy. It's done. He's giving away the ticket.
I somehow, why do I not believe you? Because I don't think you would do something like that. I don't think you'd be that big of a jerk.
But Tommy, it was clearly would be a jerk move by Sean. Yeah. Not sure if I believe it either, but I have to ask you a very important question.
What's up?
Would you have even gone?
This Friday?
Yeah, you don't go to Met games. You don't go to sporting
events.
Especially
on weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday night with Jake back, though.
You would have gone to that?
That one I definitely would have went to.
Wow.
Yeah.
You said no to...
You have your Cadillac friends. You got your Cadillac friends.
That's true.
You said no, but the Cadillac friends offered him David Wright retirement day.
But I never
said
no
to that.
No, I did not. I said,
Did you go?
I ended up going, but I said, let me get back to you. I got to see. That's it. So I gave him like a maybe. But, you know, I'm a maybe kind
of
guy.
So of all the regular season games the Mets play, you would put the DeGrom return game number one as a priority for Tommy to go to?
No, I would say the number one priority would be Subway Series.
Really?
Sure. Yeah, and then obviously anything late in the year. But this is a good one. Plus, it's the suite. Also, I think I owe him a, you know, hey, I didn't go to the Giant game. I appreciate the invite. I'll go to this one.
You can say his name.
Mark, yeah. Yes. But, I mean, if you say no enough, they stop asking.
I agree. That's why I stopped asking you to go to Met games. You kept saying no to me.
No, that's the lie. You didn't stop doing that. No.
You have a vendetta against Tommy.
He wants to hold it over my head. Yeah, he wants me to beg and sing for myself.
He's actually mad at you that you now have another avenue to procure tickets.
Not only there, but at the Garden with our dear friend Kerry. So I almost graduated from Evan here, and I think he doesn't like it.
You've grown up. Thank you. You're a bird out of the nest
I'm mooching off other people now.
I liked having the power over him, and I've lost it. It's all gone now. A very under-the-radar baseball weekend, but the Yankees did win 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays. And so now, when they take on Detroit and then Boston and in the soft part of their schedule, they have to find a way over the course of the next 2 weeks to make up 3 games on the Blue Jays. And if they can do that, not only is the AL East within their grasp, the number one seed in the American League is right there for them. And I commend Devin Williams. Devin Williams was thrown into a big spot with a tiny lead and pitched through it. So good weekend for the New York Yankees. Not a good weekend for the Mets. They won a crazy game on Friday, the Edwin Diaz game, in which he loaded the bases with nobody out and somehow escaped. But then on Saturday and Sunday, they didn't hit. And so they lost on Saturday to Brady Singer in the Reds' bullpen. And then yesterday they got mowed down by Hunter Green. And they put a rally together late, but it was too little too late. And so now the Mets are in this weird spot where the division is obviously over. They're 7 games out, despite the 4 games coming up with Philadelphia. And you've got now a handful of teams within relative striking distance.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel, I mean, it does feel actually that the Reds are close because they're at 500, but they're close.
Yeah.
And they just beat you 2 out of 3. And the question will be, what is the mettle of this Met team? And because you know they're good, it's just doing it consistently. It just has not been the case.
No, even during this recent stretch where they've played better, I mean, they're still losing series. And so here's where they're at now. It's kind of weird. There are 4 teams that you could realistically say are within striking distance of the Mets. The Reds, who are 4 games back, but with the tiebreaker.
Yep.
So if Cincinnati makes up 4 games, that would be enough to technically pass the Mets. 4 games ahead of the Giants, who the Mets have the tiebreaker on, so it's really a 5-game lead. 5 up on Arizona, not to get in the weeds, but Arizona would likely have the tiebreaker. And then 5 up on St. Louis, who the Mets have the tiebreaker on. I mean, it's kind of simple. Go out and just win a bunch of games, and it won't become an issue. But they're in a danger zone where if they struggle against the Phillies, all of a sudden that lead could go down to 3 games, 2 games. It can get dicey. I'm still confident they'll make the postseason. I am still confident that they will avoid the unmitigated disaster of missing the playoffs, and yes, it would be. But things are still relatively tight. I thought Brandon Sproat was impressive yesterday, so that's a positive. Jonah Tong kind of had a middling outing on Saturday, but the offense did nothing over the last 2 days. So now 4 tests against the Philadelphia Phillies beginning tonight. And it's not about the division, so it's not about Mets-Phillies. It's just about winning games and making sure they make the playoffs.
If you sweep them, it is about the division.
Stop it.
I'm just saying.
They're 3 games out still.
Okay, but how many? I mean, there's 16 games to go.
Yeah, but Teague, think about it this way. So the last time the Mets played the Phillies, they were 7 games out, right? Yes. Same situation?
Yes.
They swept them to get within 4.
True.
And now they go back after playing the Marlins and the Tigers and the Reds, and they're back to being 7 out. So even if they did sweep the Phillies, which is unlikely, are you confident they're going to make up more games?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Marlins, I wish I could say it was an anomaly, but some of those losses were bad.
They lost 3 out of 4 to the crappy Marlins. Oh,
I know, and they gave up 7 and 11, and even in the game they won, they gave up 9 runs. So it's like they gave up a ton of runs to a bad team. So it wasn't the hitting, it was the pitching in that game, except for the last one of that series. But if you could they find a way if they swept the Phillies to not have a Marlins type letdown? Of course. That's what you have to accept.
Take you, they're not winning the NL East.
The problem is they don't have the Marlins after the Phillies.
No. They have the Texas Rangers, they got the Jake DeGrom return. Now the Phillies
and then the Padres.
The Phillies are very banged up. Trey Turner's going on the IL with an injured hamstring. Alec Boehm's going on the IL. So the Phillies are a little bit banged up, and what's exciting tonight is Nolan McClain's on the mound. Nolan McClain, who's 4-0 with a 1.3 ERA.
Yeah, but then you get Sean Manaea.
No, I know. You get the wild card. I mean, it's funny how Jonah Tong's made 2 starts. Brandon Sproat's made 1 start. Nolan McClain's made 4 starts. And you have so much more confidence in those 3 guys than anyone else in the Met rotation.
Right. If you're doing it based on the starting pitcher, you're saying win, loss, loss, win.
Well, I think the real problem is the Phillies after tonight are throwing their 3 best pitchers at you. I mean, Aaron Nola's had a bad year, but Ranger Suarez is nasty. Christopher Sanchez is tough. And then they'll likely say Jesus Luzardo on Thursday. So 4-game series for the Mets coming up. Yankees are off, but they are in a decent spot going into the final few weeks of the year to possibly win the AL East. You can keep an eye on Red Sox A's tonight. You going to stay up late for Red Sox A's?
I'll go to bed right around when Monday Night Football ends. We'll check in on the score then.
All right.
That'll be a negative.
If the season ends today, and it doesn't, if the season ended today, Yankees-Red Sox wildcard series, Yankee Stadium, Mets-Dodgers wildcard series, Dodger Stadium, that is a wildcard series on steroids. But guess what? The season does not end today.
Right.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I kind of hate that saying.
Do you?
Because I don't know where it comes from. Like, what's the point of it?
The point is,
if the season ended today, feel good because you would make the playoffs. Great, but we're sinking and we suck over the last month, so it's not ending today.
It's more just to remind you, hey, there's only a few weeks left in the season. We've already seen these teams play 100.
Yeah, but Tommy was saying if the season ended today, a month and a half ago.
I know. You don't find it interesting then?
No, especially not then.
Do you find it more interesting now and we're only a few weeks away?
I'll find it more interesting 2 weeks from now.
Okay. I'm just saying, if the season ends today, Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, what time you think that Met-Dodger game will be? That's what I'm curious about. Let's get back to your calls. A lot of football today. Jet fans excited but upset, I think is the best way to describe us. Excited about the performance, but upset that they blew a game they should have won. And Giant fans, it feels like last year. 888-808-1019. Ben is up in Albany. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Evan, I am so happy that you came on here today. Unlike some other people and all over social media, oh, they played well. You know, we're going to build on this. We lost. They don't count moral victories. They count wins and losses. Those are the 2 things they count. We haven't made the playoffs in 15 years. We haven't had a winning season in 10 years, okay? I mean, I want to win. I don't want to watch losses. I'm sick of it. And Xavier Gibson cannot be on the roster, okay? He wouldn't be on the roster if he didn't return that punt two years ago on Monday Night Football.
That is why, Ben, that is why I like Aaron Glenn, and the early returns are good. If he's going to say into a microphone, we're going to hold guys accountable, we can't be sloppy, we can't do this, we can't do that, tell me how Xavier Gibson's on this roster. He is not a good wide receiver. His special teams, what's he done other than his first game as a pro? What'd he do?
Not much.
Yesterday, he cost him the game. So what Aaron Glenn needs to do is get rid of him. You want to send a message? I think that sends a message. And you know what? Xavier's a talented young man. He'll go play somewhere else. Maybe you guys will sign him. I don't know. So he'll be all right. He'll get another opportunity. But with the New York Jets, it's over.
I love his projected stats. Projected fumbles, 17. because it just averages off the one game, whatever you did in game one, it just multiplies it by 17.
You find that funny?
It made me chuckle.
Well, you want to hear something else?
It tickled me.
Daniel Jones is on pace to be a part of 50 touchdowns this year, and his team goes 17-0.
And to score on every single possession that the Indianapolis Colts have.
That's right. That's what he's on pace to do.
Yes.
Matt's in Staten Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
All's good. What's up?
All right, listen, so I called about a month ago when I said that I had gone on a job interview at an intermediate school in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. For a principal position.
I remember that.
So one of the questions was, how are you going to, deal with the longer commute and everything? And I said, listen, I try and call Evan and Tiki as much as possible, get on the radio, talk a little bit. Turns out I wound up getting the job. So last week was my first week.
Ah, congratulations.
As the assistant principal at IS. Thank you. IS-62 Ditmas. If you don't mind, I just want to give a quick shout out to Ms. Santiago, Ms. Butrago, Ms. Rashid, and Ms. Bortle as a great admin staff.
Thank you.
The sixth grade team, the social studies team, the phys ed team, and most importantly, the new sixth graders that came in have been absolutely phenomenal.
That's awesome.
So I think it's going to be a great year, and it's been awesome for me, man.
I'm glad we helped you get the job.
Yeah. Do you think it had anything to do with it?
No, it had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Well, good for him.
But congratulations. That's awesome.
Going on a
job. My daughter just started middle school as well.
How is she liking it so far?
She's awesome. She wakes up at 5:30. She takes a shower, does her hair, does her makeup, puts her clothes on, makes breakfast, and then is ready to go at 7:15.
You don't have to do anything?
We do absolutely nothing.
She does all that?
Everything. Everything. And now my 9-year-old can't get orange juice.
How are your girls when you wake them up in the morning? Or do they wake themselves up in the morning, like Tiki described?
They wake daddy up, and then they ask me to pour the cereal. But everything else, they get themselves dressed, but not to that point. I mean, he's got his daughter.
That's amazing.
Well, it's because of cheer. It's because she has to do it all herself for cheer.
Well, that's a great learning
experience. She's away at these competitions. She's got to make sure her hair is right, make sure her makeup is right. She's got to put her outfit on, her uniform on. Like, it's... You just get used to it.
No, I get you. I am exhausted every day, not because I stay up all night, but because my oldest son, Jet, will fight with me two times a day. We get into fights. Not fist fights, of course, but we get into fights over two things. Number one, go to sleep.
Right.
Doesn't want to go to sleep. Doesn't understand why he's got to go to sleep. Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And then he has this great plan. He's just going to talk to me about other things so he doesn't go to sleep.
That suck.
And then the other fight is a few hours later when I wake him up. You gotta get up. Right. I don't want to get up. You just argued with me.
Right.
You didn't want to go to sleep.
If you would have went to sleep when I said to get to sleep, you'd want to get up.
And you would think that argument would work. And he's like, no. So every morning, and this wasn't the case last year, wasn't the case the year before, but I guess when you're about to turn 9, it's like the new teenager.
Yeah.
It is a fight every freak. I'm exhausted.
Does he have a TV in his room?
Kind of, but not really. Mm. He has a TV, but he doesn't use it.
Why?
Because these kids don't use TVs as much. They use tablets.
Oh.
So it's easier. And I find myself...
But the tablet keeps you occupied. The TV, you're just passively watching.
No, I know. And that's why I came up with a great plan.
Which is?
Tablet's gone, because that'll keep you up. I'll put something on the TV.
Yeah.
And you'll naturally fall asleep.
That's what I do.
And I've tried that. And last night, it was like an hour and a half went by. It didn't work. I should have put...
You know what? I put on like the old Looney Tunes cartoons.
Oh, that's a good one.
And Tom and Jerry, because they don't really know him. So it's not for Brooklyn. Brooklyn does whatever the hell she wants. But Tegan, she doesn't know him. So it's new to her.
And how quickly does she fall asleep?
Pretty quickly.
You know what I'm going to try? I got a great idea. Tonight, when Jet's fighting with me, you know what I'm going to put on the TV screen?
What's that?
Giants Commanders.
That'll help.
That'll do it.
I was going to recommend the Rico Bronya. I have my kids now listen to my podcast, and it puts them right to sleep.
Nice.
3 minutes.
That is a good idea.
It's like daddy's voice.
Yep. You're right.
That's exactly what I look.
So it's comforting. It's familiar. Yep. It's like, oh, what's daddy talking about? I don't really care.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I don't get questions about Marcus Bowe, but they go to sleep.
That's a great idea. Before you know it, they're going to wake up asking questions about Marcus Bowe. If they're listening to that in their sleep.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.